Gaga was mad, out of his mind. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 331, Tipitaka, part 212, in which we'll continue reading, spelled Kulavaga, but in the original Pali, apparently, it's pronounced Chulavaga, C-U-L-L-A, Chola. Go figure. Anyway, so this is part two of Chulavaga 4, and yeah, hope everybody's doing well. We just had another Buddhist Books B-Sides episode, part two of the 14 Dalai Lamas. If you want, you can click through and subscribe to Buddhist Books B-Sides that exists. If you would like to start at the beginning of Chulavaga part one, then the Chulavaga playlist is right here. Hopefully that was more than 10 seconds in between links, otherwise one of those links won't show up. And if you would like to start at the beginning of the Tipitaka, with the Sutta Vibhanga, the Bhikkhuni Vibhanga, the Maha Vaga, and then the Chulavaga, then that's the Tipitaka playlist. Okay. Hope everybody's doing well today, and I will go ahead and get started. Pick up where we left off last time. And let's see what's in store for us. We might have to cancel today. One moment, please. All right, it should be all right. It's just a bit of noise pollution. Okay, it's raining, so that's good. Picking up where we left off last time. Now at that time, the monk Gaga was mad, out of his mind. And while he was mad, out of his mind, he perpetuated much and spoke in a way that was not worthy of a recluse. Monks reproved the monk Gaga because of offenses done, parentheses by him, and parentheses, while he was mad, out of his mind, saying, quote, "Does the Venerable One remember having fallen into an offense like this?" End quote. He spoke thus, quote, "I, your reverences, was mad, out of my mind. While I was mad, out of my mind, much was perpetuated and spoken by me that was not worthy of a recluse. I do not remember that. That was done by me while I was insane." End quote. We've all seen that Ed Norton movie, right? "Although being spoken to thus by him," "although being spoken to thus by him, they still reproved him, saying, quote, 'Does the Venerable One remember having fallen into an offense like this?'" End quote. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, "How can these monks reprove the monk Gaga because of offenses done, parentheses, by him, and parentheses, when he was mad, out of his mind, saying, quote, within quotes, 'Does the Venerable One remember having fallen into an offense like this?' End quote, within quotes. And he spoke thus, quote, within quotes, 'I, your reverences, was mad, out of my mind. While I was mad, out of my mind, much was perpetuated and spoken by me that was not worthy of a recluse. I do not remember that. That was done by me while I was insane.' End quote, within quotes. And although being spoken to by him thus, they still reproved him, saying, quote, within quotes, 'Does the Venerable One remember having fallen into an offense like this?' End quote, within quotes, end quote." Now, this is interesting, isn't it? So this was written not in 2026, not in the 1980s, but 2,200 years ago, presumably 2,600 years ago was when they began repeating it. So the monks that talk, the monks that complain about what is this behavior that ends up resulting in Lord Buddha making a new rule, usually, even if it's just to please the people who talk, like, well, it's not right for this to happen. They expect this, so let's make a rule that is where we behave the way they expect us to. They're upset that people are upset at the monk who presumably said and did terrible things because the monk was mad, so you should forgive him. It's understood that you should just, oh, he said he was mad. He said he doesn't remember doing it. So stop complaining. Stop reproving him. Stop talking about it. Just shut up. He did those things. Yeah, he's crazy. Let it go. Be on thy way. Johnny was bad even as a child. Everybody could tell. Everyone said, if you don't get straight, they said he'd go to hell. Anybody know the reference I'm making? So I'm complaining about these monks in a similar way that the character that Danny Elfman was portraying when he was singing Only a Lad. Never mind. Okay. This is interesting, isn't it? It's interesting. Okay. So you can get away with a lot if you're mad, or if you convince people that you're mad. Cool. I guess. I don't know. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. Let's see what the Lord says. He said, quote, is it true as is said, monks? Three dots. We can assume that he's saying, is it true that these monks are still upset at him, even though he said he was insane? End quote. Quote, it is true, Lord, end quote. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, well then, monks, let the order give a verdict of past insanity to the monk Gaga, who is no longer insane. And thus, monks, should it be given. Monks, that monk Gaga, having approached the order, having arranged his upper robe over one shoulder, having honored the feet of the senior monks, having sat down on his haunches, having raised his joined palms in salutation, should speak thus to it, quote, within quotes, I, honored sirs, was mad, out of my mind. While I was mad, out of my mind, I perpetuated much, and spoke in a way that was not worthy of a recluse. Monks reproved me because of offenses done, parentheses by me, end parentheses, while I was mad, out of my mind, saying, quote within quote within quote, remember, because Lord Buddha's explaining that he ought to come up and say this, so quote within quotes, and then while he's saying that within the explanation that Lord Buddha is giving, he's quoting himself, so quote within quote within quote, which looks just like quotes, so they switch back and forth between quotes and reversed commas, I've heard some people call them. Anyway, does the Venerable One remember having fallen into an offense like this? Oh no, he's quoting the other monks. And quote, so I spoke thus, now he's quoting himself within the quote that Buddha is saying that he should say. Quote, I, your reverences, was mad, out of my mind, while I was mad, out of my mind. Much was perpetuated and spoken, parentheses, by me, and parentheses, that was not worthy of a recluse. I do not remember that. That was done by me while I was insane. End quote. And even though they were spoken to thus by me, they still reproved me. Didn't you hear me say I don't remember and I was insane? Why are you still hit? Yeah, I see the damage. I know those are very hurtful things that you say I said. I don't remember. I was insane. So leave me alone. Stop talking to me about it. I'm trying to finish my breakfast here. Right? They still reproved me, saying, quote, Does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this? End quote. So I, honored sirs, no longer insane, am asking the order for a verdict of past insanity, end quote within quotes. And a second time it should be asked for, three dots. And a third time it should be asked for, saying, quote within quotes, I, honored sirs, was mad, three dots. Even a third time, I am asking the order for a verdict of past insanity, end quote within quotes. The order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This monk Gaga was mad, out of his mind. While he was mad, out of his mind, much was perpetuated and spoken, parentheses, by him, end parentheses, that was not worthy of a recluse. Monks reproved the monk Gaga for offenses done, parentheses, by him, end parentheses, while he was mad, out of his mind, saying, quote within quote within quote, I guess. Does the venerable one remember, three dots, end quote. He spoke thus, quote, I, honored sirs, do not remember, three dots. This was done by me while I was insane, end quote. Even on being spoken to by him thus, they still reproved him, saying, quote, does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this, end quote. He, no longer insane, is asking the order for a verdict of past insanity. I mean, they have that in modern days, right? Temporary insanity, or, you know, pleading insanity. It's interesting. It's a continuity in the ancient world that still exists today. Okay. If it seems right to the order may give the monk Gaga, who is no longer insane, a verdict of past insanity. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. This monk Gaga is, three dots, is asking the order for a verdict of past insanity. If the giving of a verdict of past insanity to the monk Gaga is what, who is no longer insane, is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. And a third time, I speak forth this matter. A verdict of past insanity is given by the order to the monk Gaga, who is no longer insane. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this. And quote within quotes, a little bit hasty on the cutting things out. He didn't put any three dots in between. And a third time I speak forth this matter. And a verdict of past insanity is given by the order to the monk Gaga. Miss Horner. Oh, by the way, thank you, Polytext Society. Okay. Monks, therefore, there are these three not legally valid properties in giving a verdict of past insanity. Three that are legally valid. What are the three properties that are not legally valid in giving a verdict of past insanity? This is a case, monks, where a monk has fallen into an offense. The order, or several, parentheses, monks, end parentheses, or one individual reproves him for it, saying, quote within quotes, does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this, end quote within quotes. If he, although remembering, speaks thus, quote within quotes, I do not, your reverences, remember having fallen into an offense like that, end quote within quotes. And if the order gives him a verdict of past insanity, the giving of the verdict of past insanity is not legally valid. I mean, it's good that they're covering that, because that seemed kind of obvious to you and me, right? That a monk could just say they don't remember when they actually do remember. But how do you prove that they remember? Well, they say Lord Buddha's omniscient and psychic and so on. So, of course, he'd be able to tell. And whoever's in charge of the Sangha at whatever point in the future could also claim to be omniscient and psychic. And then based on whether they like that monk or not, well, those are other different problems, other layers, onion layers of problems that could come up in the future and result in 18 different Theravadan orders by the time. I'll keep reading, shall I? Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Unprovable. If the monk's a good actor, then what do you do then? This is a case, monks, where a monk has fallen into an offense, three dots. Quote within quotes, does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this? And quote within quotes, if he, although remembering, speaks thus, quote within quotes, I, your reverences, remember it as though from a dream. End quote within quotes, and if the order gives him a verdict of past insanity, the giving of the verdict of past insanity is not legally valid. Okay, so if you remember it as though in a dream, that doesn't count as past insanity. That's interesting. Okay. Which is an interesting, I mean, that's just interesting to consider in light of the fact that in the past, there were situations where someone had sex in a dream and then woke up and said, Lord, I had sex in a dream. And Lord Buddha said, that doesn't count. You're innocent. But if somebody actually did have sex and said, oh, but I remember it as though it were in a dream. No. But if somebody, if they were like, I saw you. And they said, wasn't me. Like the song. And they were like, we have evidence. All these people, 25, 30, 300 people watched you. And then you got up and looked at us and said, you say, yeah, I don't remember that at all. Oh, well, verdict of past insanity, no harm, no foul. Until same time next week when you do it again. I mean, that's not being covered in this. The repetition of, I'll keep reading. One can assume, I mean, this is very liberal, you might say, very merciful court. This is a case, monks, where a monk has fallen into an offense. Quote within quotes, does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this? And quote within quotes, if he, although not mad, pretends to be mad, saying, quote within quotes, I act thus, do you also act thus? This is allowable for me, and it is also allowable for you. End quote within quotes. And if the order gives him a verdict of past insanity, the giving of the verdict of past insanity is not legally valid, because he's still acting insane. These three properties in giving a verdict of past insanity are not legally valid. I think a young Jack Nicholson around the time Cuckoo's Nest was filmed ought to depict the monk pretending to be mad. So those three, if a monk actually does remember, lies and says he doesn't remember. If a monk says he remembers, but as if it were in a dream. And if a monk just is like, well, insane, well, I don't know, was it bad? Was it, you did it, I did it, we all do it, those three? No, you don't get a verdict of past insanity. What are three properties in giving a verdict of past insanity that are legally valid? This is a case, monks, where a monk is mad out of his mind. While he is mad out of his mind, he perpetuates much and speaks in a way that is not worthy of a recluse. An order, or several, parentheses, monks, end parentheses, or one individual reproves him for it, saying, quote within quotes, does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this? End quote within quotes. If he, not remembering, speaks thus, quote within quotes, I do not, your reverences, remember having fallen into an offense like that. And, end quote within quotes, and if the order gives him a verdict of past insanity, the giving of the verdict of past insanity is legally valid. Right. This is a case, monks, where a monk is mad, three dots. Quote within quotes, does the venerable one remember having fallen into an offense like this? And quote within quotes, if he, not remembering, speaks thus, quote within quotes, I, your reverences, remember as though from a dream. And quote within quotes, and if the order gives him a verdict of past insanity, the giving of the verdict of past insanity is legally valid. Okay, this is a little weird. So if you say, do you remember it? And he says, I remember it as if it were in a dream. Then either it's valid or invalid. What determines the difference? Whether he remembers it or not. Which is odd, because if he doesn't remember it, then why say that you remember it as if it were in a dream? It's a little odd. It's a little odd. It's okay. It's okay that it's a little odd. A little bit of a gray area, you might say. Okay, so you could just say, I remember as if we're in a dream, and it's like rolling the dice. Let's see which precedent the monks go with. Am I in it, guilty or innocent? Who knows? We'll just see what they decide. Which of these paragraphs they think of. Okay. This is a case, monks, where a monk is mad, three dots. No, we just read that. This is a case, monks, where a monk is mad, three dots. Quote, then quotes, does the Venerable One remembers? Does the Venerable One remembers having fallen into an offense like this, Miss Horner? You gotta pay attention to what you're doing the whole time. If you're up late working to the point where your mind isn't working, go to sleep. Get back to it in the morning. Otherwise, you're going to do stuff like this. Does one remembers? Anyway, sorry. End quote, then quotes. If he is mad and pretends to be mad, what? And says, quote, then quotes, I act thus, you also act thus. This is allowable for me. It is also allowable for you. End quote. And if the order gives him a verdict of past insanity, the giving of the verdict of past insanity is legally valid. Okay, so again, the same thing. He does the same thing, but then based on whether he's insane or not, I guess. That's a little odd, isn't it? A little odd to give those examples and say, well, if they do these exact things and say these exact words, then, well, if it's true, then it's valid. If it's not true, then it's not valid. And if he's talking that way, he's insane in present time, isn't he? I mean, you could say. Or he's just being, never mind. All right. These three properties in giving a verdict of past insanity are legally valid, end quote. Now at that time, the group of six monks carried out formal acts of censure and guidance and banishment and reconciliation and suspension against monks without their acknowledgement. Those who were modest monks, three dots, spread it about, saying, quote, how can this group of six monks carry out formal acts of censure and three dots, suspension against monks without their acknowledgement, end quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, is it true, as is said, monks, three dots, end quote. Quote, it is true, Lord, end quote. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, monks, a formal act of censure, or of guidance, or of banishment, or of reconciliation, or of suspension, should not be carried out against a monk without his acknowledgement. Whoever should so carry one out, there is an offense of wrongdoing. Makes sense. I mean, this is, again, something that's still you don't hear of usually. I mean, I haven't heard of a judge and a jury and, you know, everybody like carrying out a sentence against somebody without that person being there in the courtroom. Can you imagine? Someone just gets pulled over on the side of the road. So what's the problem, officer? You've been found guilty. You're going to go directly to jail for 40 years. Get in the car. I'm taking you to jail for 40 years. What about my court appearance? Yeah, you already had it. You just weren't there. So this is still something today that's held as important, right? Monks, the carrying out of a formal act on the acknowledgement of a monk is not legally valid thus. It is legally valid thus. What? And how, monks, is the carrying out on the acknowledgement not legally valid? A monk comes to have fallen into an offense of involving defeat. One of the big four, remember? No sex, no stealing, no pretending to have magical powers, and the fourth one. If he speaks thus, quote, I have not, your reverences, fallen into an murder, there it is, fallen into an offense involving defeat. I have fallen into an offense entailing a formal meeting of the order, end quote. And if the order has him dealt with for an offense entailing a formal meeting of the order, the carrying out on the acknowledgement is not legally valid. Okay. A monk comes to have fallen into an offense involving defeat, three dots, if he speaks thus, quote within quotes, I have not, your reverences, fallen into an offense involving defeat. I have fallen into a grave offense, into an offense involving expiation, into an offense which ought to be confessed, into an offense of wrongdoing, into an offense of wrong speech, end quote. And if the order has him dealt with for an offense of wrong speech, the carrying out on the acknowledgement is not legally valid. Okay, so if he did do the really bad thing, and he says, no, I didn't, I did some lesser thing, and they go, oh, you did? Oh, okay, we'll try you for the lesser thing, then that is not legally valid, because he did the bad thing, right? A monk comes to have fallen into a grave offense entailing a formal meeting of the order, three dots, into a grave offense, into an offense involving expiation. It's a little awkwardly written, isn't it? Oh, an offense involving a formal meeting of the order into a grave. Okay. So if it's not a top-tier rule, but a second-tier rule, and he says, no, it's a third, fourth, fifth, or sixth-tier rule, okay. Into a grave offense, into an offense involving expiation, into an offense which ought to be confessed, into an offense of wrongdoing, into an offense of wrong speech, the order or several monks or one individual reproves him for it, saying, quote within quotes, the venerable one has fallen into an offense of wrong speech, and quote within quotes, if he speaks thus, quote within quotes, I have not, your reverences, fallen into an offense of wrong speech, I have fallen into an offense involving defeat, okay, so not just if it's a lower offense, but if it's a higher offense. End quote. And if the order has him dealt with for an offense involving defeat, the carrying out on the acknowledgement is not legally valid. Okay, so if a monk stands with his arms akimbo in the village while collecting alms, looking, making direct eye contact with villagers that are passing by, and someone says, that's two wrongdoings there, buddy. And he's like, no, it's not. I should be kicked out. I had sex with those villagers. But he didn't, and they try him and kick him out. It's not legally valid. It should have been two wrongdoings. Okay, so that's clear, right? If he gets tried for anything other than what he did, it's not legally valid. Okay, I like how the legal validity is determined by whether they actually did the bad thing or not, not whether the right paperwork was moved here or there. Whether they had a search warrant to check the monk's private locker or not. I don't think privacy was necessarily a high priority back then, but that's okay. A monk comes to have fallen into an offense entailing a formal meeting of the order, three dots, into a grave offense, three dots, into an offense of wrong speech, three dots, if he speaks thus, quote within quotes, yes, your reverences, I have fallen into an offense of wrong speech, and quote within quotes, and if the order has him dealt with for an offense of wrong speech, the carrying out on the acknowledgement is legally valid, end quote. This is a case where Miss Horner and the Polytext Society, by trying to save paper and words, have obscured the meaning of and forced us to interpret what we think makes logical sense here, which would be that, what? I don't know. Yeah, it's if the crime that they actually did matches the crime that everybody agrees he did, and he's punished for that crime, then it's legally valid, whatever it is, whether it's top tier, mid tier, low tier. Okay. Well, you know, it looks like they're moving into another story, and since we're at about half hour, and I'm just gonna go ahead and make this a regular size episode. Regular being half hour, not a long one. It's about to launch into a story about, okay, there was this time that these monks were doing this shenanigans, and so we'll get to that next time. Which will be episode 333, because in 332, of course, let's bring up the clock. The 2 is always going to be the Platform Sutra. So we'll be reading a bit of the Platform Sutra of the 6th Patriarch of Chan, also known as Zen, because there are two ways of pronouncing the same word, which is Dhyana or Dhyan. And there are two ways of pronouncing the same word for the same form of Buddhism, which has various lineages within it, of course. But there it is. I'm going to do something a little unusual just for today in the cult that I grew up in, so to speak. I joined when I was 16, left when I was 34, and I'm 47 now. But anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, they used to have an expression that sometimes the veil is thinner, sometimes the veil is thicker, and then depending on context, you knew that that either meant that you were closer to Halloween, and therefore the veil between the living and the dead was thinner, or it meant that because of whatever reason, including but not limited to the mood of the leader, the veil was thinner, so more of the privileged information, the secret information that was usually withheld from the outer order, which is the hundreds of people in training to join the cult of 12 to 20 people in the middle, would be revealed. And then other times the veil was thicker. That means, nope, keep your mouth shut. Somebody asks a question, you just say, that's beyond your grade. Let's focus on your stuff. And that means the veil is thicker. Today, the veil is thinner. And as a result, there's going to be a link in the end screen. It's a link that I've already mentioned in this episode. But if you click that link, you'll have a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of Buddhist Books Podcast. For better or for worse, you might become enraged and unsubscribe, or you might decide you like this channel even more than you did before, or neither of those two things. It might be a neutral experience. So anyway, go ahead and click through, and then when you get there, note that you're on a different channel, and be sure to click subscribe on that channel if you'd like. I'm going to go ahead and do the usual closing now. Wish you all the best. I hope you're enjoying good weather where you are, the way that I'm enjoying good weather where I am. And, okay, until next time, to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.